Davis, Jalen, Anthony, Rose.
What up, Dom?
I'm still David Jacoby.
And on the Cool Check-In.
Together, we are Jalen Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen, you always accuse me of doing one thing. Doing what you call the media thing and reading way too much into sort of perceived slights or small little morsels of information.
The media.
And making dramatic mountains out of those morsels. And that's exactly what I'm going to do right now because Tom Brady penned a farewell letter in the Players Tribune yesterday. And it had some really interesting passages. The first one I want to discuss with you is when Tom wrote, quote, playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is a change, a challenge, an opportunity to lead and collaborate, and also to be seen and heard. Jalen, some tells me that he was also seen and heard when he won all of those Super Bowls. Some tells me there was no shortage of seeing or hearing Tom Brady whenever we wanted to see or hear Tom Brady. So some tells me that this was not to be seen and heard by the public, but this is a way to be seen and heard by the organization. Jalen, even you have to admit there's something to this theory that was a little bit of a shot at the New England Patriots.
Well, we don't have to look further than understanding that he played there 20 years and went to the Super Bowl 9 times, won 6 of those, and they didn't allow him to have a farewell tour with their uniform on. Because if they would have offered him the same $50 million contract, he would still be in New England. So basically what this boils down to is Tampa Bay gave him a level of fiscal and emotional security because he's going there for the first time versus what he felt like he should have been able to attain being a member of the Patriots for so very long. But that's unfortunately what happens to us athletes. So many professions that you can do later in your life. Even an artist, for example, you can perform the same records countless times. Even if you can't dance the same, you can sit down, start the music, and people will still come to your concert. Well, when you're an athlete, there's an expiration date. And Tom Brady and Drew Brees continue to defy that. So now if you're an organization, how far are you willing to let that go? Would you overpay Tom Brady, that's going to be 43 this year, allegedly overpay, because you're basically saying he's not going to be an elite quarterback? How do you feel about that, David Jacoby? I like what both sides did business-wise. If I'm Belichick, I'm not giving 2 years, $50 million guaranteed either to Tom Brady at this point of his career.
No, I like it because, first of all, I care about me first, not Tom Brady or the New England Patriots, and this is great for me. This is great for our business. I've been watching more Tampa Bay Buccaneers this season than I've seen in my entire life. I think if not in the Super Bowl or the championship round, I will watch an entire Buccaneers game from start to finish. Honestly, ever since Vinny Testaverde, the Buccaneers quarterback, has not been this relevant, and I couldn't be happier about it. However, I would have liked to see him retire in that jersey. If I was Tom Brady, I'm sure there's a part of him that feels somewhat slighted. There was a lot of incidents over time. You know, there's Deflategate where he felt like the franchise didn't really have his back. And there's some personnel decisions, especially the wide receiver position, that I think that he wished went differently. But he also had another passage in this that I'm going to do what you call the media thing and read too much into. And that is based on his relationship with a gentleman by the name of, Bill Belichick. The two of them, as you mentioned, went to 9 Super Bowls and won 6 together. And here's the only time Belichick was mentioned. Quote, by the way, in the 6th round, it's not like Coach Belichick himself was on the other end of the line. I think it was his assistant, Burge. Quote, we just wanted to let you know you've been picked by the New England Patriots, Burge said. That's what Tom Brady wrote in the Players Tribune. Now, that is not so much of a slight. That's normal sort of modus operandi for a 6th-round pick. However, when he thanked the crafts, and when he thanked the fans, and when he thanked the organization, and when he thanked his teammates and coaches, he never once thanked, by name, a gentleman by the name of Bill Belichick. Jalen, again, you can't say I'm doing the media thing by reading too much into this, because Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft and Tom Brady were the sort of three-headed monster, the trident that fueled this dynasty for over a decade.
And uniquely, I like how Robert Kraft, as the boss, made those two guys fight it out in the sandlot while he stayed clear because he writes checks to both of them. because while Belichick, in theory, is the guy that makes the football decision, Robert Kraft is the owner of the team. So, therefore, if he would have really wanted Tom Brady to have a few years on his contract and a couple of zeros in his account, he could have made it happen. Okay? So, I appreciate the level of business separation that the Patriots basically set up. Because normally, unlike Dallas, if this was a scenario like that, people would be mad at Jerry or going to talk to him. But in New England, it's Bill Belichick that has to be the bad guy. I like that line of demarcation. I think every side really got what they wanted. Robert Kraft leaves clean without Brady being mad at him. Brady, the Michigan man, gets to articulate himself and be motivated on how he's going to go to Tampa Bay and be a game saver for them. And then Bill Belichick is not going to comment on none of this. He's just going to worry about the draft and putting together next year's team.
Well, he should be worried about the quarterback position, but somebody tells me that there'll be more to report on that as news breaks in the NFL. But Jalen, some news did break today in the NFL. I purposely have not seen what I'm about to show you. I've been very busy with the kids and the quarantine and prepping the show, but I'm about to show you what has been unveiled today, this afternoon, as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' new uniforms. Take a look at those. You know what that looks like to me? It looks like the old uniforms. I don't see much difference there. I expected a bigger splash. Now that's new. That's new right there. Everything else seemed like the old uniforms. I couldn't even tell you the difference.
Well, let me tell you what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are doing, though.
Okay.
Again, they used to be in the same division as the Lions. And I followed this franchise struggle. And I love their old school uniforms, and their helmets were classic. But as this franchise progressed, they're channeling the Tampa Bay Buccaneer teams that were actually successful. Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks, that's what those uniforms look mostly like. The squad Tony Dungy built and ultimately was taken to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl after he left. And so with John Gruden. So based on that, that's what I see them doing. They getting their old thing back.
Now, I would say the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not exactly a winning franchise in the National Football League, but at least they have that 1 year. The Detroit Lions don't even have like 1 year they can look back at like that. You don't even have 1 year where you won two playoff games, but we're not going to talk about the Lions anymore because we have to move on to some sports that might actually happen, and I'm not sure that they should. And I'm talking about the UFC. UFC 249 is scheduled to be pretty soon. Pretty soon. And here is what Dana White said about a potential venue for those.
So I'm going to continue to pump fights out. I've also secured an island. I've got an island. The infrastructure is being built right now. We're going to do all of our international fights on this island. So when April 18th, when we do this fight on April 18th, international and local, you know, in the United States, we're going to start cranking. The UFC will be back up and running internationally and here in the States.
So let me get this straight. Dana White's going to hold a fighting tournament on a private island in isolation in uncharted international waters. This sounds like a really bad 1986 Schwarzenegger film. It sounds like Bloodsport. You know, like what is happening? Do you think, number one, he should be pursuing this? Number two, this will actually happen?
It sounds like a skit from Scarface that didn't make the movie. I feel like Dana White, who, by the way, is dealing with a lot, and I know you probably heard about the extortion attempt that he's trying to fight off right now, where there was a boyfriend and girlfriend couple, and they basically set him up to have sex with her and recorded it and then turned around and asked him for $400,000.
Allegedly.
And so
allegedly.
Dana White is the kind of leader of the UFC. He like, we getting this bread. By all means necessary, we getting this bread. I don't care if it has to quarantine. I don't care if I had to go on the island. You know what? He should reach out to a good friend of mine. that has some real estate somewhere. David Jacoby. You remember you told me things were happening in space and on other planets? Where is that now?
I love this.
Where is that now? Dana, we need that right now.
There's no governing bodies. There's no regulations. You just send a DM to Elon Musk. They fly you up to some space station, and you can have the rest of your UFC fights in space. We'll do some.
Not going to be able to do it.
No airborne coronavirus in space. Matter of fact, no air in space either. I think, Jalen, that is why you sometimes on the phone you tell me that you're a marketing genius. And right now, live, you are seeing the marketing genius that is Jalen Rose. If you can't secure the private island, just send a DM to Elon Musk, and we'll get you a nice space station for you and those fighters to actually fight on. So, Jalen, we are every day, we are one day closer from the debut of The Last Dance, the documentary about Michael Jordan. 10 episodes debuting on April 19th. So we will every day give you an update. It is time for The Last Dance Countdown. So we've discussed a lot of different legacies, sort of like things that Michael Jordan's associated with so far in this countdown. We spoke about his sneakers. We also spoke about Scottie Pippen yesterday. And today, this one's interesting. The greatest basketball player of all time straight up stopped playing basketball and then started playing professional baseball. So, Jalen, during that period, I know you were paying attention. Why? I know that you don't know the real reason, but why do you think Michael Jeffrey Jordan stopped playing basketball at the peak of his powers and tried to become a professional baseball player?
Well, there are a few urban legend stories about this that I won't foster publicly because they include the tragedy that was his father being murdered. Very unfortunate, very sad how it went down. For those that don't know, he basically was killed while he was sitting on the side of a road taking a drive and trying to get a rest. And after he was murdered, Jordan said publicly that he and his father always had a goal and a dream for him to play professional baseball. And when you lose someone so very close to you like that, I'm pretty sure he needed an emotional escape. Mm. And if the sport was baseball that he and his father bonded over and felt like that would be something that he should try, and then all of a sudden you lose him the way he did, that provided a different motivation for somebody at that period of time was already considered the greatest of all time. See, a lot of people are going to try to leapfrog LeBron into this conversation. Let me just tell you guys something. How many rings LeBron got?
Championship rings, he has 3.
How many did he win in a row?
2.
Okay. When I started to separate all-time great players, one of the things I have to try to do is say, okay, how many did they win in a row? How many of those were they the finals MVP? Like, you have to split hairs with the all-time greats. He had already won 3 straight and 3 finals MVPs. Nobody else can say that except Shaq in the modern day.
But Jalen, that's more, you're making a case of why he should continue to play basketball. He's on one of the greatest teams ever assembled. He's won 3 straight. He's won finals MVP in 3 straight. He's one of the most competitive human beings that has ever walked the planet Earth. Why go switch sports?
Because you're ignoring the score of the game, which he was already considered the greatest at that time in the game of life that I initiated. And what also helped make that happen is the Bulls owner, Jerry Reinsdorf, also owns the White Sox. So that provided a bridge that you can go play baseball, but we still have your basketball rights. Plus, we'll make sure you get the opportunity, and we're going to cut through any red tape for it to happen. So it was almost a win-win for non-NBA essentials for that to happen as it related to the ownership of the team, and for him to get that opportunity that he wanted. And so it was a firestorm, and it left the league wide open. Remember, I was in the league. That was my first year. 94 was my first year. And it was like the wild, wild west at that point. It's like, MJ gone? MJ gone? Oh, man. Everybody trying to get a ring now. It's like, and the dream came and snatched two of them real quick when MJ was out of the game. And then he came back, for all you historians, and won three more in a row. This is how you distinguish yourself away from everybody else. And you know who was Finals MVP all six of those times?
Michael Jordan.
I've seen Magic win five and Shaq win four. Kareem win six. Tim Duncan win five. LeBron, 3-3. Shaq, three Finals MVPs. Tim Duncan has three. Like, you have to start splitting these all-time great players. And Bill Russell, obviously, they didn't have the award when he won it because he did win 11 championships in 13 years. Was the first African-American coach and player at the same time. So these guys have achieved so very much, but there's only one GOAT, and you're going to see him on April 19th be featured in a 10-part series.
Jalen, because we are very serious sports journalists, we covered an important story yesterday as it regards to the coronavirus. A gentleman by the name of Kyle Walker, a soccer player overseas in the UK, put out some social media reminders for people that practice social distancing, stay away from each other. And he then hired a couple of escorts and had a threesome at his house. We don't know that for a fact, but some of the young ladies involved have sort of spoken to the press about it. It's probably true, because what we saw next was an apology from that man right there, Kyle Walker. He said the following, quote, "I understand that my position as professional footballer brings the responsibility of being a role model. As such, I want to apologize to my family, friends, football club supporters, and the public for letting them down." Jalen Rose, what do you think about Kyle Walker's apology? And is this apology an admission of guilt? Because if I was Kyle Walker, I'm not apologizing for anything until you catch me red-handed.
Well, at the end of that statement, he should have put, "Accept my newest follow, Jalen Rose." He should have added that line, because this is reverse discrimination in a lot of ways. And let me tell you why. So let me get this right. You work in a porn industry, or you're an escort. I do a business transaction with you and another young lady. And y'all are the people that are leaking it? That's against all rules of that industry. So I'm with Kyle on this one. And I know for public consumption, he had to apologize. He has family and friends, and he's a professional, and he wanted to be a stand-up guy. But he didn't really mean that.
No, he didn't mean that at all.
He didn't write it either.
He had nothing to do with it. The club told him that he had to apologize. The PR rep for the club wrote the apology and said, "You're about to take this."
Yes.
And he was like, "You know what I want to do this?" And they're like, "You're about to do this because you do want to get paid." And he was like, "Fine, whatever." Now, I just want to see the text thread between him and the girl that went to the press about this. That's what I want to see. That's really what I want to see, because he sent all the emojis her direction. He's so mad. There's nothing he could do. He'll probably end up – this will get a screenshot, and we'll be talking about those tomorrow. Kyle Walker, I know you're doing your best through the quarantine.
We need to get him on the show.
No, we don't. Let's lay low. I think Kyle Walker should probably just lay low for a while. We don't need to go him up. He don't need to go on a book tour right now. We don't need him on a press tour. He's got to just lay low, wait till soccer comes back with no fans, and then he can start dealing with that. Now, in seriousness, at some point soccer's going to come back, and there will not be fans. At some point, MLB is going to start, and there won't be fans. The MLB has now decided one scenario they're looking into, and this has happened to many leagues that we hear about a scenario looking into, and then we hear about another one. The latest from the MLB is potentially starting the season in Arizona in isolation. So what this means is that they're in talks for a May return, which is pretty soon. A May return in Arizona. There is, of course, where the Diamondbacks play, and there's about 10 other stadiums where they could hold games, where teams would be tested and they would play in isolation without fans. Jalen, I know every commissioner of every league is texting you incessantly every day asking you for advice. So now this time it's commissioner of Major League Baseball, Manfred. He's calling you up and saying, Jalen, what do you think about this Arizona idea? Think it'll work?
If you can make it happen, do it. The sacrifice is going to be for the players to separate themselves from their families and friends. And here's what I'll say to the public. A lot of times when you make sacrifices to become a professional, they don't just start when you eventually collect checks. They happen your entire career leading up to that. Certain sacrifices you have to make. So as an athlete, I already understood that I was going to miss certain holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and your kids' birthdays and probably the first day of school, or there are things that you're going to miss for your profession or as a parent. And so these checks are the reason your kids go to private school and or live in the suburbs. So therefore, I'm pretty sure the players are going to be willing to play the game that they love, continue to collect their checks, and not balk at an opportunity by Major League Baseball to put them in position to play their games this year. And shout out to Chuck D. It just reminded me of something, of when my favorite MCs were teaching me something. I'll never forget listening to "By the Time I Get to Arizona," because they were the final place that adopted the MLK Day as a holiday. And I got a chance to play there my final season. Beautiful people. But shout to Chuck for that. But absolutely, if you can do, will do. Make it happen.
Well, if you want to derail Revis on Arizona, I can derail this topic to Arizona real quick because, man, when Arizona Ice-T came out with those tall boys, with the Arnold Palmers, those 2012 cans, then they had the mangoes. You had that mango energy one. Man, I was exclusively drinking Arizona beverages out of cans I had to carry with two hands.
Yeah, like, full can of sugar. That's all those were.
Oh, yeah. I stopped doing that once I started reading the back. They put the calories on there. But I would play basketball outside in a Brooklyn yard for about 3 hours, go through four of those. And then once I'm done losing my games, switch to beer. God, man, that's taking me back to the early 2000s. Thanks to you, Jalen Rose. Well, the NBA is also looking to come back. And the NBA is the latest on that is it's going to take some sort of like rapid real-time testing. Now, this doesn't exactly exist right now, but as you see from this tweet from Baxter Holmes, they've been collaborating to assess rapid testing devices in theory that accurate test results within minutes could lead to being tested pregame, verifying that everyone involved in the contest is coronavirus-free, and then playing a game in an empty arena. Jalen. This is a bit of wishful thinking, but it is the type of medical and scientific advancement that it will take in order for NBA games to truly be played because of the close physical contact between the contestants and the fact that there are so many people carrying the COVID-19 coronavirus that are asymptomatic. So do you think that it will take rapid test results in order for the NBA to function?
I do, and it's a domino effect. Of course, we should all do what we can to social distance. This pandemic is real. The bruises it's going to do to the economy are going to last for so very long. But, Jacoby, what happens is it's one thing that we all have testing available to us. It's another thing that we're not going to all get tested unless we show symptoms, which means in theory, each of us could have it. And the reason why I point that out is when more tests get available for corporations like the NBA and Major League Baseball and a lot of companies that are firing and laying people off and putting people on the furlough, what's going to happen is we're going to then discover more people have it than we realize. And then all of a sudden, those people are going to crowd the hospital and there aren't enough ventilators. And so as all of this takes place, for public consumption, you have to be very careful as professional sports leagues for people not to feel, in particular politicians, to not acknowledge you for getting preferential treatment over people who actually need those tests. And it's going to be a tricky dynamic to navigate. I think we will get through it, but I don't see May as a time for it to happen. But I do anticipate and believe the NBA is going to have the time that it needs to crown a champion at some point this year. But get ready, at least in 2020, to watch your favorite sports without fans in the stands.
Oh, yeah.
Fans in the stands. We're get ready that. For that. Hear the gym shoes squeaking. Hear the trash talk. Hear the pads thumping. Yeah. You're going to hear all of that, but without fans.
Well, Jalen, I just want to put you in a time machine really quick and show some video of a young Jalen Rose early in his media career interviewing one of the teams that I believe will be contending for the NBA championship this year in front of no fans, the Los Angeles Lakers. Here it is, young Jalen Rose, just in the embryonic stages of his media career. Let's see.
So I feel NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was there when you won your first NBA championship in 2000. How does it feel to be going for number 4?
Feels good, man. Been very fortunate.
Gary Payton, also known as one of the best trash talkers of all time in the NBA. Who are some of the guys that talk trash back to you? At least got your ear a little bit. Just a little bit.
You know Reggie, you know Jordan, you know all them guys. They've been talking that crap, so you know how that is. So them, they was, you know, even yourself.
Can you talk about the irony of having a daughter that won a WNBA championship with Detroit, now facing Detroit for your opportunity to get your first NBA title?
Well, I hope it don't end the same way now. I'm glad for my daughter to win hers, but hopefully it's different now.
So, Jalen, what do you think at that time, early on in your career, showing up at Lakers practice with a camera, did you ever think that that would be the start of the rest of your life?
First off, y'all, that wasn't Laker practice. That was the NBA Finals. Second.
That's a practice, my guy. That's a practice.
Practice. I said it wasn't only Laker practice. It was the NBA Finals. Y'all show only Lakers that I talk to. Y'all know I'm from Detroit. And I interviewed Pistons as well, who actually won that series 4-1. Put some respect on the Bad Boys, too. Next, absolutely, I felt like this was my next opportunity and career path. It was something I went to school for, mass communications, radio, TV, film at U of M, playing in the finals in 2000, traded to the Bulls, 9 wins in February. I was like, oh, we ain't going to the playoffs. Reach out to a contact, BET Mad Sports, covered the Nets, Lakers final, took that footage, pitched the idea to the Best Damn Sports Show. They liked it, and that was the following year you just saw right there.
Jalen, we always say that we give the people what they want, and one thing the people always want from you is a fresh lineup, and you've been without it, and people have noticed that you are not crispy anymore. So we're going to, as we do every day, give the people what they want, and then we're going to hear from you about the struggles that you've been dealing with in court.
During these times, being with your family, and protecting your home is the most important thing. Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT. Did you know ADT can help you customize a security package that fits most every lifestyle? You can customize an AD security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. Whether you want just the basics or all the bells and whistles, ADT can work with you to help customize a system to help you protect your home. ADT offers all the essentials for convenience, security, and reliability. That includes HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, fire and carbon monoxide detectors. They're connected to 24/7 monitoring, all controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. ADT is the leading smart home security provider. It has high quality technology. All their products are rigorously tested to deliver the quality that you expect from ADT, the most trusted name in security. They're all professionally installed. They have the largest security network and the ADT 6-month money back guarantee. We want you to be happy with your ADT service. That's why we provide one of the best money back guarantees from a national security provider. Right now, being safe, being healthy are the most important things. Help ADT keep your family safe.
coronavirus, the pandemic, social distancing is so real that I went on television and I didn't have a fresh cut. The struggle is real.
Now, I want to be very clear that we would never downplay the severity of this disease. There are literally thousands of people dying, not only in our country, but around the world. But we are all stuck in our homes, and one of the things that that means is that it's hard to get a crisp lineup. I decided just to cut my own hair. Jalen Rose obviously has not. So that post that you just watched, bit of a firestorm online. Jalen Rose has committed to getting a hoodie to the best responses to our interactive questions every day. So make sure that you follow Jalen Jacoby on Twitter and on Instagram. And I'm just going to show you some of our favorite responses. And you, Jalen the judge, Judge Jalen, will pick your favorite. And that person will get a Jalen Jacoby hoodie. Let's take a look at some of these. We have, this is more serious than the Waffle House.
Shout out to Eric. God, I spent a lot of time in Atlanta. Oh, my goodness. Waffle House late night, especially next midnight, leaving a spot all day.
And this one is from Moaman Music. Jalen been Chris for 100 years. We give him a pass. Jalen, you do get a pass, of course. And we have a couple more for you to judge from. Next, this one's from Instagram. Jalen out here looking like the Book of Eli. Shout out Denzel. And then finally, we have, should let Molly Karam clean you up. That's on you, playa. I fully agree with that last one. So, Jalen, we have Royce the 5'9 chiming in. We have someone saying you've been crisp for 100 years. We have someone saying this is worse than Waffle House. We have someone saying, as I agree, Molly should give you a little shape up. I'll go up there and give you a shape up. Who gets the hoodie, though? Who gets today's hoodie?
Shout out to my brother, Royce the 5'9. He don't need the hoodie because he's going to come on the show as soon as we get back up and running like we're supposed to. I'll go with the first one, the Waffle House.
Eric.
That's an institution to me.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to get Eric. Make sure you reach out to the Jalen Jacoby account. Send us a DM with your address, and Jalen will send you a hoodie himself. Jalen will put the hoodie in an envelope and send it to you home, his home, himself. These are his hoodies. He paid with his own money. Now, Jalen, before we leave, as a sign-off, I just want you to tell us your order when you sit down at a Waffle House at 2 in the morning.
Oh. Scattered, smothered, and covered. Waffle, well done. Side of bacon, well done. Side of sausage, well done. Grits. And then just munch like a little buffet. Eat a little bit of everything. That's how I do it. No doubt. Large OJ. Tip everybody. The cook. Play the music on the jukebox. Put a 20 in there. You're like 100 credits or something like that. Just play music on music on music. And then when I know I'm about to leave, I leave some credit for the staff and let them play what they want to play. This is a whole holistic thing, Jacoby.
Thank you so much for watching online and, of course, for listening to this podcast. We appreciate you. We hope to be here every single day, Monday through Friday, for you as you deal with the strange times that we all are dealing with. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.